Blog Talk Radio.
Nova and I, we worked together for a couple of years, and she is a powerhouse vocalist.
Good evening. Welcome to Totally Whole Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Rosemary Cook, the CEO and founder of Totally Whole Pastoral Counseling Services, where our motto is the parts will never be well unless the whole is well. Tonight we're going to look at the issue of father absence, healing the pain of father absence. Yesterday we had an opportunity to celebrate Father's Day. Whether your father is living or your father has passed away, whether you had a loving and kind father, whether your father was absent, yesterday forced us to look at the issue of fathers. So tonight I want to talk about the issue of fatherlessness and father hunger. The scripture reminds us in Proverbs 17 and 6, grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their fathers. And the word glory in Hebrew means beauty, honor, majesty, good reputation, and praise. But father absence creates a veil that conceals the glory of the father. So father absence is really an epidemic in our community. I was looking at some statistics from the National Center for Fathering, and I was alarmed at the stats. The show us that 20 million children in the United States are living fatherless. And it also reminds us that children who are in fatherless families are 44% more likely to live in poverty. That means that they are four times more likely to be raised in poverty, and that 90% of all homeless and runaway children are fatherless. Substance abuse is an issue among fatherless children. Fatherless children are 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, and 71% of all adolescent substance abusers come from a fatherless home. These statistics are alarming. 80% of adolescents in psychiatric hospitals come from fatherless homes, and they are two times more likely to commit suicide. So fatherless children experience more accidents. They have a higher rate of chronic asthma, headaches, and speech defects. But not only that, fatherless children are nine times more likely to drop out of school, are nine times less likely to obtain academic and professional qualifications in adulthood. And their scores are lower than the norm on reading and math. So fatherlessness affects the educational achievement of our youth. The crime stats are alarming. 70% of adolescents in juvenile correctional facilities come from fatherless homes, and 60% of rapists were raised in fatherless homes. Those who come from fatherless homes were more likely to have violent behavior and 20 times more likely to be incarcerated. 70% of teen pregnancies happen in fatherless homes. So those who grew up in fatherless homes are 9 times more likely to be raped or sexually abused in a home without a father. Those rates are alarming. Fatherlessness is an epidemic in our community. When we look at the statistics that look specifically at African American families, the statistics that I just read looks at all of the families in the U.S. But in the African American community, 62% of our families are headed by one parent, as compared to 31% of all other racial groups. Father absence affects the emotional well-being of our youth as well as adults, because father absence is related to feelings of insecurity, low self-esteem, greater attention-seeking behaviors. That means you're looking for love in the wrong places and in the wrong spaces. And father absence results in a greater need for approval. Father absence is a huge social problem. But what do healthy fathers provide? When the father is present and when the father is healthy and when there is a good father in the home, he provides nurturing. He provides love. He provides a strong male role model. Our young girls need positive male role models so that they will know how young men should treat them. Our young boys need positive male role models so that they will know how to treat our women. Good fathers provide security and stability. They help us to emerge in the world knowing that the world is okay, that there is order and there is stability and security in our world. Healthy fathers provide a positive sense of self-esteem. Those who grew up in homes where fathers were present and where fathers were healthy, they can emerge feeling that I'm okay. Fathers provide a reassuring presence. When a father attends the basketball games or the football games or the cheerleading practice, or they come to the PTA meetings, or they come to see their little girl or little boy performing in the play, it provides a sense of reassurance that daddy is here and that daddy won't leave me. And lastly, fathers provide a positive and healthy image of God, because fathers are the first image of a male God. The only God that children know are the gods that are present in their parents or in their mothers and fathers. So we need positive, healthy role models for our young girls and our young boys. So when fathers are absent, when they are physically absent, or maybe they are emotionally unavailable, or when a father is inconsistent in his presence and inconsistent in his affirmation and love, it will impact the individual, the child, the young girl, the young boy, socially, leaving them inexperienced and unable to navigate the world. When fathers are absent, it impacts the youth emotionally, meaning that their internal experience will be disrupted. Their feelings will somehow be affected. And thirdly, father absence impacts that person's relationship with God. Fathers are the glory of the children, and where there is no father, there is no glory. When I think about the glory and I think about father absence, and I told you in the Hebrew what that word glory means, beauty, honor, majesty, good reputation, and praise. Father absence creates a veil which conceals the glory of the child. For example, when women are about to get married, they put on a veil. I know they used to put it on. I don't know how many women wear veils today, but traditionally women wore a veil over their face. So when they are walking down that aisle about to meet the groom before they announce the vials to become husband and wife, their faces are veiled. So a veil will cover. A veil prevents you from being seen, and a veil prevents you from seeing clearly. A veil conceals the true you. It covers and it hides your true identity. Father absence is like a veil. A person who experiences father absence goes through life under a veil. Going through life, in other words, feeling different or inadequate or flawed. Going through life of feeling that you are without beauty, that you have no reason to celebrate, that you are ashamed or embarrassed because a veil covers your beauty, your honor, your good reputation. Where there is no father, there is no glory. A couple of writers looked at father absence or father hunger. Milton Erickson, in a book called Longing for Dad, says that father absence casts a long shadow that people have to manage throughout their lives. And another writer, Allison, wrote a book titled Bastard Out of Carolina. She quoted father absence like this. She said, "Love would make me beautiful. A father's love would purify my heart, turn my bitter soul sweet, lighten my Cherokee eyes. If he loved me, if he only loved me, why didn't he love me?" And the last writer, Dr. Robin Smith, a psychologist and an ordained minister, she wrote a book called Hungry. And in her book, she said, "Hungry is awakening to the pains of our longings. Hungry is about finding ways to be kind and compassionate to the parts of ourselves that we dislike, dishonor, or which brings us shame." She says, "Hungry is not about getting rid of the hunger, but it's about embracing it. It's about telling the truth, at least to ourselves, about what we deeply long for, want, and need." Hungry, father hunger, and father absence. We as African Americans, unfortunately, have learned to live without veils. We have learned to accept that we are seen as different. We are seen as the inferior or the less dominant group. So we've learned to live life under veils. But we are resilient, and that is our strength. Our resilience has helped us, but it has also hindered us. Because of our difference, our visible difference in this country, we've learned how to be resilient, meaning that we can take a licking and keep on ticking. Our resilience tells us to fake it until we make it. We tell ourselves if life gives us lemons, we make lemonade. And that's a good thing. With our resilience, we've learned to make do with what we have. We learn that we have to keep it moving because the job has to get done. But unfortunately, our resilience has caused us to neglect our social health, our physical health, and our emotional health. And as a result, we're paying a huge price. We can see that we as African Americans are number one in health disparities. We have higher rates of hypertension, higher rates of obesity, higher rates of diabetes. We lead the charts in divorce rates, and we lead the charts in mental illnesses and all of the social ills that affect our community. And we've all heard the saying that when America catches a cold, the African American community catches pneumonia. So it's our resilience that has told us to fake it until we make it, and so we learn to live life under a veil. When I think about how this living under a veil has affected us, I use the analogy of having a leaky roof. And we have all had to get a repair done to a roof, or you may know of someone who've had to get a roof repaired. So instead of paying the price to get a professional roofer, some of us have been content with just patching up the roof. In other words, we just ignore the problem, or we might be in denial, saying to ourselves that maybe the leak will go away, or maybe the leak is not as bad as it seems. I can just put some buckets under here to catch the water. After all, it's not going to rain all year, so after the rainy season has passed, everything will be just fine. So we make do with what we have. So what we do is we patch the leak up, which is a temporary fix. So after a few seasons come and go, the roof will leak again. So what we do is we patch the leak again, but the damage is still occurring. So underneath the surface, hidden behind the walls, there is water that has crept in. There are odors, there's mold, there's insects, termites are eating away the foundation of our roof. So we have a slow process of deterioration, a slow process of destruction. So finally, you realize that you have to repair the roof. So you have to end up getting a professional who knows how to do it right. So you end up having to get a new roof, which will require a larger investment of your time and a larger investment of your resources. Because of our inability to patch up our problems, we've neglected our own. I'm sorry, because of our ability, because we're so comfortable and so used to patching up problems, we've neglected our health, our emotional health, our mental health, and our spiritual health. We have neglected the emotional and the social and the psychological needs of our own children. And a sad result is that we have learned to accept father absence. We have learned to make do without getting any intervention. We have ignored the issue altogether. In some cases, we won't even tell our son or daughter who their real daddy is. We won't even let the child ask about their real daddy. We will demonize their daddy, talk about how no good he was or is, and tell them that all men are dogs. In some cases, we won't allow him or her to call daddy because you don't like his new girlfriend or his new wife. In some cases, we will use a child as a tool to get even. I won't let you see him or her unless you do this, that, or the other. So father absence becomes a slow process of deterioration. So what happens is our little girls grow up with male issues, grow up with issues of anger, fear of men, fear of rejection, commitment, or abandonment. Our boys can grow up with control issues, feeling the need to prove himself to others, to women, that I'm a real man. Sometimes our children grow up with a need for attention, a greater need for attention because of father absence. They end up feeling unloved or feeling unworthy. Because of father absence, we can grow up and make bad choices in relationships, end up engaging in sex at a young age, becoming promiscuous, or sometimes having an aversion to intimacy. Some grow up with the overachiever syndrome, superwoman, or breaking glass ceilings. And in other cases, there are mood swings, depression, anxiety, suicidal ideations, all because of father absence. So father absence is not an issue that we should ignore, and there is often a slow process of deterioration, which is called the sleeper effect, that we don't experience father absence until later in life, until we are well in our adult years, 20, 30, 40s, or even 50s. But there is a saying that says it's easier to build a healthy child than to repair a broken adult. So don't wait until the damage is irreparable before you get some help. So the roof is leaking in our community. Time to repair father absence. We are suffering. Our youth are suffering. But God cannot heal what we conceal. So I have a guest speaker on the line, Pastor Robert C. Rolak, who's a good friend and colleague of mine that I've known for some 28 years. And he preached a sermon that really inspired me. He's a pastor of New Life International Church. So I want to have him to come to talk to us about the impact of father absence. Pastor Rolak, you on the line?
Yes, I am, Doctor.
Okay, so what can you tell us about father absence and how we can begin to heal from the issue of father absence?
Well, first of all, Dr. Cook, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this discussion, for it is near and dear to my heart. As you mentioned, I did minister a sermon on Father's Day, and it was entitled Abba Father, the Ultimate Dad, which is referring to God our Father. Amen. And, you know, what I would like to say is that, you know, the impact that the absence has is just, it has a rippling effect. Again, you mentioned about the sleeper effect. And most of us, I would dare to say, don't realize, again, like you mentioned, the devastation that takes place over a period of time that doesn't mm-hmm. even show up until later in our adult years. And so, what was the question again? You said, how do we recover from it? Yes.
Yes, and you know, just spiritually, you know, what are the results of father absence, and you know, what can you share with us spiritually how to deal with this pain of father absence?
Amen. Well, you mentioned earlier in the broadcast about how fathers, God has given us gifts. He's given us parents, fathers being the head of the household, and actually to help build, like you said, build the child up. Because the Bible teaches us that, you know, we should train up a child in the way that he or she should go. And when they get older, they won't depart from it. And what that does is creates a wholesome environment that's conducive to us learning about our Heavenly Father, which is our ultimate Father. And when that element is not in place, then there is a missing from the household. Therefore, it causes a vulnerable situation for not only the other spouse, the spouse, but also the children. And then there's no covering. And then, again, like you mentioned, the glory is not in the house. For the father is the glory of the children. So when the glory is gone, amen, then the enemy comes in and pretty much runs havoc. That's why we have all these statistics that you mentioned about fatherless homes and the effect that it has on the children. And what I preached on yesterday is that even at a young age, when there's no father in the home, the Bible tells us that, you know, if your mother and father forsake you, or they're not actually there, because they may have never been there in the first place, then God, the Father, our spiritual Father, said that I will take you up. I'll be a mother to the motherless. I'll be a father to the fatherless. And I actually have lived that experience. And so for me, it's very close to home, near and dear to my heart. Having a mother who did her best, single mom, only child, did her best raising me, and I made some bad decisions coming up, but she did her best. For the most part, she was out working, and I was with Granny, the babysitter at the time, and there were very few father figures. There was my grandfather, who was a positive role model. However, he was working. So a lot of the men were always working. So I was actually raised by my mother and by my grandmother. So there was really not a lot of male role models until later on in life. But at that point, some of the devastation had already taken place. Again, not well into my adult years that I began to understand the impact that it had on me. But having my mother introduced me to God, amen, and as I went on further, adopting some what I would say surrogate fathers or those who would serve as positive role models, I began to learn more about God, my Father, and He actually was the one who raised me. Amen. And so the solution, again, He's our ultimate Father. So the Bible says that before the foundation of the world, He knew us. So we are ultimately spiritual offspring from our Abba Father God. Amen? And so I preached a while back about the family unit called the two families. There's a spiritual family, there's a natural family. God orchestrates, he actually picks what family he will place us in. And a lot of us at some point in some time in our lives may have said, why am I in this family? You know, why do I have to live such a rough childhood? Others may be seemingly more privileged. But God in His awesome wisdom knows what He's doing. Amen. So even though you may start off with not seemingly have everything that you need, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. And so even now, as a pastor now, not having a father, being raised by God the Father, there has been healing has taken place. I actually implemented one of those practical therapeutic solution into where, because there was some issues I had with my father. It's too much to go into right now for the sake of time. However, but basically it was just absence. He wasn't in my life until I was 12. At 12, he died. So there was a lot of resentment, a lot of anger that I didn't even understand that I was experiencing. I didn't even know, Dr. Rose, that it was even there. Again, the sleeper effect. But then it came up, and when it came up, I didn't recognize it. It was a father issue. It came up in substance abuse. It came up in promiscuity. It came up in insecurity, low self-esteem, all those things, not having a father to validate you and to teach you how to be a man, to show you what a man looks like. I heard somebody say one time, before a man, a boy can be a man, he has to see a man. Amen? And
right,
so about that technique where I could actually have a conversation with my father, the empty chair technique, and I actually went through that process because I didn't realize that I had a love-hate relationship with my dad. I loved him because he was my dad, but I hated him because he wasn't there. He abandoned us, and then he had the nerve to die, which was, didn't understand it at the time. So when I went through that process, because it actually, that anger and fear and all the other ill feelings had me in a type of prison, an emotional prison, where I was stuck. I was stuck in life. Until I took that empty chair across from my chair, sit down and talk to my father, let him know how I felt. But at the end, I said, Ned, but I forgive you. Amen? Because I realized God, my father, had led me to understand that he did the best that he could with what he knew how. Amen? Everybody don't have we all have different capacities. And he didn't know God the Father himself. And so the love of God wasn't in him, so he couldn't pass it on to me and to my mom. So, again, I was able to release him and forgive him because God had forgiven me. Amen? So that started the healing process. And it is a process, and I'm still going through it. That sometimes they're triggers. Sometimes, you know, there are things that happen that kind of remind you of the pain. But what it has done, and what happens to a lot of people, some children actually have fathers who are not there, and they determine, and like I determined, I'm going to be a better father or a good father because my father wasn't. So we can take that thing, we can take that bad experience sometimes, and we can flip it, if you will, and respond to it in a positive way instead of a negative way. But there's a lot of discussion that can go along with that. That's just my experience. I'm sure we all have our own different experiences. But I thank God that I'm well on my way, as a lot of others that was in the service on yesterday about the Father. It promoted an environment for healing. Amen. And so I thank God for the opportunity
to share that. I think, Tom, as you were saying, the first step is just acknowledging. You know, I just talked about the sleeper effect, and for some of us, we deny it or we ignore it, and thinking that out of sight means out of mind. And I know for me, you know, I grew up without a father in my home, and so I acknowledged the impact of the issue. But it was only in my late 30s and 40s that I began to think about fathers. And my father showed up in my life. I was in my 40s. I just turned 40. So it was just kind of a shock and an issue that I didn't know how to deal with. I mean, of course, I knew him, knew of him, and we'd see him every now and then. But I did not actually remember him from the childhood, because I was 9 years old when, I'm sorry, 6 months old when we left Virginia. But as an adult, having to embrace father, what does that mean? And, you know, even what do I call him? So I was forced to kind of look at the issue. And then once I began to look at it, I began to embrace it and realize that I needed some healing in that area. I didn't know that I needed healing until I was forced to look at it. See, God, he has a way of forcing us to look at issues that we try to deny or we try to hide, or issues that we don't even know are issues. But I thank God that when it's time for us to deal with issues, when it's time for us to get whole, hallelujah, God will stir up some things and cause us to look at issues that we will deny or minimize or even ignore. So I thank God that he began to teach me about a real father, a godly father, the perfect father. So when we don't have ideal fathers to look at, to have ideal fathers as role models, God is our ideal father. And in my experience, I thank God that he allowed there to be forgiveness. And we have to really, really look at forgiveness and recognize that sometimes it's not easy to forgive. And sometimes people have to go through a process of forgiveness. And I don't always rush people into forgiveness. And I know that the Bible says that we ought to forgive. In order for God to forgive us, we have to forgive others. But I believe that sometimes we don't always know what the damage is. So we don't always know what it is that we are forgiving. So we have to begin to work through the process and come to understand the impact of the absence or the loss, and then pray that God will help us to forgive, because when we rush to forgiveness, Pastor Rob, I realize that often it's not true forgiveness. You know, it's forgiveness because that's what we expected to do. But when we rush to forgiveness, it's often half-hearted. But once we come to the realization of what has happened, and that we realize that there has been some loss, some sense of grief, then we're able to go on and move forward. So forgiveness is something that we ask God to help us to forgive, because when we hold on to unforgiveness, we are actually hurting ourselves. You know, I heard someone say
that
forgiveness is like taking in a deadly poison but expecting the other person to die. But true forgiveness, choosing to not allow the pain of the event to cause us to suffer. Because often when we are in unforgiveness, the other person is, they've moved on, they've gone on with their lives. But we pain, we are allowing the transgression to keep us bound. So I do recommend, you know, forgiveness, and I recommend that we grieve what? Grieve the loss of what could have been, the loss of what never was. And facing the truth that our parents, many times they did the best that they could. Many times they didn't have strong role to teach them how to be fathers.
That's right. Amen.
So
that's right.
Taking them, you know, recognizing that they were human and that they did the best that they could. So it's, you know, grieving and accepting and offering some grace. And also, you know, where would we be if we didn't have hope? You know, just, you know, begin to hope again and to live again and to dream again. But before I go on, there might be a caller on who might want to make a statement, or a caller might want to ask a
question. Chime in.
For any callers, hi, welcome to Holy Hole.
Good evening, Dr. Rosemary and Pastor Ronald.
Oh, good evening.
Pastor Robert. I'm sorry. Pastor Robert. Dr. Rosemary. Yes, I'm all Rosemary's brother. I'm James Cook.
Hey, Mr. Cook.
How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Glad to have you.
All right. God bless y'all. Yes, too. I'm thinking back on what y'all was saying about fatherless in the home. Like Rosemary was saying, we grew up, my mother raised myself and my three sisters, Rosemary, and we had two other sisters. And I was the only son. I was little, like 4 years old, and, you know, when you're young, you don't realize that your father not there, but my mother, she raised us. As I got older, then I started thinking, well, my father's not here. Well, he had, like, a drinking problem, you know, as I got older, I found out about that. But I didn't have no, I wasn't mad, you know, with him because he wasn't around us as we were growing up. But my uncle raised me, you know, I talked to my uncles and cousins and, you know, gave me some incentive about being a young man, a man growing up. And as I got a little older,
Amen.
And I thank God for my mother. She kept us in church.
Amen.
Kept us in church. And I got stronger in the Lord and coming up. And I saw, you know, the usher board and choir. And she brought me, and she took me to, like, the boys' club. And I grew up around, you know,
Amen.
Neighborhood boys. And I got into, you know, different activities. And that made me stronger as a young man, boy growing up in life. And then as I grew up, I got married. That's how I have sons. But I thank God for keeping me all these years. And there was no resentment in my heart, as though, I'm saying, well, my father wasn't around, so, and I didn't never question my mother why he wasn't around, but the mother was the reason why that she came to Baltimore when I was four and brought me and my sister Roman. She was little, Lisa, and my older sister London, we came to Baltimore. But like I said, I thank God for how much she raised us up and kept us in church. Now, I'm still in church at 56.
Yeah.
Amen.
I thank God for keeping my mind. I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord, and I'm still on the usher board. I'm singing in the choir, and reading the scriptures, and I'm in His Word, and God just keeping me, I didn't have no resent in my heart, reason why my father wasn't there. I just went on. I said, well, it must be a reason why he wasn't here. God put us in
position
where, it was strong, and then my mother, she had eight kids altogether, but God only allowed four of us to live, if I'm told. Four live, so, God, he put all of us, I'm going to be there. So God allowed four children to live, so she'd be able to raise four of us instead of eight. It would have been hard. Real hard for her to raise eight children from Virginia. And I thank God for being all of our lives, Dr. Rosemary's life, and Sister London, it's a life, and we're still in Christ. And I thank God for Dr. Rosemary having this talk show, and, I'm gaining strength. Me and my wife are listening to it. This is the second time we've been listening. And I think, she has a question, too. Thank y'all for hearing hearing me out.
Here's
my wife.
All right, Mr. Cook. God bless you.
God bless you,
thank
too.
Thank you for calling in.
I was listening to you, Dr. Rosemary, when you was talking about forgiveness. And I just wanted to make a comment of what I have learned spiritually. And I was taught early on that the highest form of giving is forgiveness. That's the comment that I'm going to say. Thank you. Wow. The highest form of giving. The highest form of giving is forgiveness. Hallelujah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep.
Yes. Amen.
That is.
Thank
you. Can I just chime in for a minute, Pastor?
Sure.
That's good. Can I respond to that?
Yes.
That's powerful. Because first I was trying to wrap my mind around that statement initially, and just trying to put it in perspective to what Christ did for us, because the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave, and so she said that the highest form of giving is forgiveness.
Wow.
And so what I understand is because you understand that the highest form of giving I'm thinking of is sacrifice, and they're the same thing. Because you have to sacrifice. You mentioned earlier about that when you forgive, you release yourself. But before you can forgive somebody, you got to deny yourself. You have to sacrifice what you think your right is because somebody wronged you or said something bad to you or didn't give you what you thought you deserved. So what you do is you sacrifice your rights and you begin to honor their rights. Amen.
Yes.
And so when you forgive them, that was a powerful statement she made. So I appreciate her getting on and just sharing that. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to use that. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure that I gave her the honor that she quoted it. And what's your wife's name, Mr. Cook?
I didn't
Mrs. Cook. Amen. I'm going to say Mrs. Cook. It's a quote from her. Amen. Because that was powerful. Amen. Just wanted to share that.
All right.
For some listeners who might have just tuned in, we're talking about father absence and we're talking about the impact of father absence. And we just had a quote from Jerry Cook, who happens to be my sister-in-law. She says the highest form of giving is forgiveness.
Yeah.
And Pastor Rob reminded us that God so loved the world that He gave. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So he could have held on to anger against us, because at one point God repented that he had even made man. We had done some things that God. But, you know, in his love for us, he forgave us. When we were yet sinners, he died for us. When we were alien from God, strangers from God, disobedient to God, he forgave us, and he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but should have everlasting life.
Everlasting life.
That whole issue of forgiveness, a lot of times, you know, people not release their fathers, have not forgiven their fathers for being absent, for being hurtful. But, you know, on tonight we want to get free and get healed from the pain of fathers. So, Brother James, you said that the significant thing for you was being raised in church, and how, you know, how our mother took us to church, and from a young age we were introduced to Christ. We were in prayer, word, and, you know, just being under the word that helped us to be able to forgive. Because, we grew up in a home without a father, and the absence of a father affects people in many ways. But we know that the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, can cause effects to be minimal. You know, the Holy Spirit is a buffer. He breaks your fall. You know, he calls you not to suffer the full effect of what you could have suffered.
That's right.
So we thank that the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, you know, it fills the voids. So it prevents us from falling apart. You know, we might have been able to bend, but thank God, Father, absence doesn't break us. Amen.
Right. Come on now.
Amen.
So we really cannot deny the impact of having Christ in our lives. So,
amen.
Dr. Rosemary, I would say, hello?
Go ahead, you're still on the line.
I'm going to say one more thing. You know, the absence of our natural father wasn't there, but the Holy Father, he was there.
Come on now.
He comes to lead and guide us to all truth. And I thank God for that. Yeah, I thank God for God being in our lives and our homes. And God, you know, all he wants us to do is to believe and trust and have faith, knowing that he will lead and guide us to every endeavor in our life. That's all he wants to do. Let's trust him.
Amen.
Yes.
Trust him.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
And
can I say something, Pastor Rowe?
Go ahead, Pastor
Rowe. Hey. I just want to chime in real quickly. And that was God's ultimate purpose. Because he had already chosen us before the foundation of the world to be his children, amen? So he just wanted to get us here, amen? He knew where to put us at, what family, whether we had a father, no father, bad father, good father, because ultimately he was going to reveal himself to us. Because even without natural father, nobody could take his place, amen? So there was merely shadows of the real thing. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
So, I want to piggyback on something that my brother James Cook said, that natural father wasn't there, but our spiritual father was present.
Yeah.
And we talked about, you know, not knowing why God allows certain things to happen, not knowing, you know, why the natural father was not in the home. But God revealed to me that there are some losses that are necessary. And there's a book that's called Necessary Losses. And so the thing that showed me was that it was necessary for him not to be in the home, because had he been in the home, we would have been exposed to the consequences of his alcoholism. We might have been exposed to some things that could have left us forever damaged. You know, so those are necessary. God can come in and he can provide that perfect father, that perfect image. Father that will not hurt you, the father that will not expose you to the hurt, for a father that will be a provider. And early on, I talked about what a healthy father does. A healthy father provides for their children. A healthy father for their children. A healthy father covers ability and self-esteem and a reassuring presence. You know, that I'm with you always. Never leave you or forsake you. That's what our Heavenly Father does. And in my situation with father absence, I had the best father anyone could ever have.
That's right,
because
now.
He was always present. He provided for me. He taught me how to love myself. You know, what our Heavenly Father does, and we, you know, should not discount it. And so that's why it's important that those who don't have fathers in the homes, you know, single parents, that you expose your children to God, to Christ. And, you know, have listeners who might be of other faith traditions, but for me, as a born-again believer, having Christ, knowing Christ at a young age, has made a difference in my life.
Amen.
So we have a few more minutes left, and I want to throw the question out. So what can we do as it relates to healing our community? And your community can be your church community. It could be the community within your home. It could be the community that maybe your kids or your grandkids live in, or the schools. What can we do to begin to heal the pain of father absence? You know, how can we reach? Go ahead, Pastor Rob. Who was that?
There was a campaign launch. I'm not sure what. I think it was in Baltimore. That was entitled "Each One Teach One." Amen. And the concept was that one man, one child, or one woman, one girl. It was like a mentorship program. So what we can do, especially as born-again believers, we can begin to spread the love of God. Amen? I mean, you see a need, and not only just for our youth, but even for each other, just begin to treat people the way that you would want them to treat you. Knowing that we have a generation, they call it the lost generation. They're not lost. I believe the ones that were lost were the generation before them, because the parents aren't around. Amen? Some of the fathers are absent. Amen? But these children, this youth, they're crying out. They're acting out. They may be acting out in violence and acting out in different things, but that's the only language that they know. So what we could do is begin to address, don't be afraid of them, but embrace them. Amen. And as we begin to shed the love of God abroad on them, because I was a troubled teen, they will begin to open up, because that's merely they're acting out and all the things that the statistics say that they're doing is a way of keeping people from coming in and hurting them, because they've been neglected, they've been abused, they've been abandoned. So they just don't want to be hurt by adults anymore. They don't want to be hurt by the father. They don't want to be hurt by society. But if we show them that we love them and we're here to help and not hurt, then I believe the healing process will not only begin, but it will be successful as well.
Yeah.
Amen. Each one. And I think, Brother James, you mentioned when you were a child, you were a part of the boys' club, and then there were people, men in the church, and then there were relatives that spent time with you.
Amen. Uncles.
So uncles, amen.
Uncles, amen.
Amen. So, yes, just stepping in where there is a need, you know, not being afraid to go to our young people so that we might be able to fill that gap. And, you know, think about even that woman who's a single parent. you know, maybe going and asking, you know, if she needs some help, you know, helping find, directing her, you know, to where she can go to get some food or get some clothing, you know, the Goodwill stores, and, you know, just noticing and recognize that there is a need, you know, because there's so many single parent families that have multiple children, and they really need some help. So, recognizing and stepping outside of our comfort zone and being able to lend a help. Adults, you know, as adults, because adults deal with the effects of father absence. And I talked earlier about the quote from the book, Hungry. It says that we need to embrace, you know, what our need is, tell the truth to ourselves about what we long for, what we need. And Pastor Rob, you said something yesterday in church about your daughters. They're, you know, grown. In fact, that you have to ask for what you need. And a lot of times we hold back from God. We don't want to offer our pain and our hurt to God, but I always say God can't heal what we conceal. So if we recognize that void, that absence, that hunger, you know, that manifests itself with so many issues that I mentioned earlier. But just acknowledging your hurt, acknowledging your pain, and taking it to God instead of, you know, taking it out on somebody else or internalizing it through depression or internalize it through drug use or internalize it and have sexual intimacy problems or acting out. But just take that need to God. God to heal that void, and He will fill it. So we try to use voice that only God can fill.
Only
but,
God.
You know, it's,
yes, God.
I like woman CeCe Wine, and she says, "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up.
Overflow.
Come and get this thirsting in my soul. A bread from heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my I lift it up." So, you know, as adults, we recognize that we might have some voice, but we can take it to God in prayer.
God,
you know, another thing that I find to be helpful is just journaling, writing your feelings out. I was reading some of my journal entries from years ago. I've always written in my journal, you know, when I look at situations that I'm in or things that I need for God to do, and just write out your God, and that's a way for God to come in and promote some healing.
Amen.
So don't be
Amen.
Afraid what the need is, what the pain is, and what your situation is, and God, He will definitely answer your prayers.
Amen.
And so we have two more minutes, and I wonder if anybody else might want to make suggestions or, you know, what has been helpful as we begin to close out this segment. But we always want to leave on a positive note with some solutions. Because
Amen.
We know well what the problems are, but we are in the business of finding solutions.
Amen.
I would just say one thing, just like you said, you mentioned about how God, well, I mentioned actually how God will reveal Himself to us. And one thing about my daughters, I had two daughters briefly, I love them both equally and the same, but different. And when I mean by that, they have different personalities. So God loves us all equally, the same, but different. And one either one of them could get anything they wanted from me at any given time. But only one spent time and asked. And then the other one saw what she was doing. She said, "Okay, why is he treating you different from me?" She said, "Because I spent time and I asked him." And it took a lot of years. But the other one, so what I'm saying is that God wants us to have an intimate relationship with us. Amen. Even if we didn't have our natural fathers and we wasn't taught how to do that, God will teach us and show us through his love. Amen. So that's the key. The key is God's love. Heals everything. The father issue, the mother issue, the money issue, whatever the issue is, the love of God can heal. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to close on that note. I want to thank all of my listeners for listening in and for chiming in, and all of your input was just invaluable. And we want to just close out with our motto: the parts will never be well unless the whole is well. And that's a quote from Plato.
Amen.
As always, whole, that is the name of this program, and that is the name of my company. And if you would like to reach me, if you know someone who might need counseling, who might need to talk with someone about this issue and some, any other issue that they're dealing with, my address is 1701 Madison Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21217, and that's Suite 500. And the phone number to reach me on is 410-728-1800. So every Monday evening from 7 to 8 p.m., Totally Whole will present topics dealing with healing and wholeness. So remember to listen in on the show every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. And on Thursday nights, we have a lineup of various shows. So we have Reverend Harvey Bailey on Thursdays. He deals with inner consciousness, and he will be hosting this show. And then we have Total Empowerment, Angela Hardy, the owner of Simple Wellness. And then we have the relationship program with Harvey, Reverend Bailey, and Reverend Kahat, One Love, One Connection. And then we have Reverend Jamel Gilliam every third Thursday, Sacred Masculine Show, where he deals with issues related to men. So please call in and if any of those shows, and if you want to also have your input given. And next week, from 7 to 8 p.m., Totally Whole will present Reverend Bridget Goins Gray, who will have a topic of interest. So Totally Whole presents Bridget Goins Gray next week, 7 to 8 p.m. So as always, be blessed. Continue to wholeness and walk in peace. God bless you.
Dr. Cook, can you give your number again for our listeners in case someone missed it?
My number is 410-728-1800. If you want to call, if you have a question about counseling, that's the number to call. And we do accept insurance and cash, and we have a sliding scale. So thank you so much. Great evening. God bless
you. Thank you. God bless you. Good night.
God bless you, too. Good night. Bye-bye. Awesome.